We are not in Genesis tonight, but you can take your Bibles and turn to Psalm, the book of Psalms. And I want to look at a familiar psalm tonight. I actually shared this with my cabin at camp this week. And I have started reading through the Psalms the last few days. And I read Psalm 1, the first psalm, which is probably the first passages of Scripture that I ever memorized. Some of you probably have it memorized too. If you don't, you should memorize the first psalm. But there was something in here that really stood out to me this time reading through. You know how that happens, right? You read through something lots and lots of times, but because the Word of God is alive, it speaks to us differently in different seasons of life. Have you noticed that? I've read the same thing. The truth never changes. It's not like, oh, I found something new in this passage. I didn't find anything new. But the Holy Spirit, if we read the Bible in the Spirit, and we read the Bible seeking to hear from God, what happens is the Holy Spirit illuminates passages to us, and it's almost as if He's preaching to us or He's teaching us as we go. And there was something in here that I just really enjoyed. So I want to walk through the whole psalm this evening, and it's just a short one. I want to go through the whole psalm, but I want to get down to this verse, actually. Would you look with me? This is where I want to spend most of the time tonight. Verse number 2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. What is His delight in? It's in the law of the Lord. And in it shall He meditate, when? Day and night. Now, verse number 3 is what really stood out to me. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This is a great picture. I don't know what kind of a tree that you picture in your mind, but you picture the river, the lush river. I have some friends that live over, some folks I know that live over near the Connecticut River in Vermont, and they had pictures on their Facebook of their family down by the river one of these hot nights this week. And just rivers are beautiful places, aren't they? I find them to be. We have our home goes down to the river. It's just our property goes down to the river. It's a beautiful spot. But just think of that lushness around the river, and think about that tree there. It says, verse 3, and He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit. And then this really struck me. What are the next three words? In His season. In His season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that You'd help us. We pray that You would speak to our hearts through the study and proclamation of Your Word tonight. I pray that we would receive the nourishment and the strength that we need. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, he said that His delight is in the law of the Lord. Would you read verse number 2 out loud with me together? Let's read that together. Ready? But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. There's so many scriptures that talk about how important the scriptures themselves are. The psalmist David said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Who knows the answer that David gives to his question? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By what? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. The word of God is compared to the sweetness of a honeycomb. In fact, it was Job who said that he esteemed the word of God to be more necessary to him than his what? Do you know? Than his daily food. That he esteemed the words of God to be of more value, of more importance than his daily food. Jesus Himself said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I missed part of that there. But then it also says that the word of God is given by inspiration. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. What we need is God's word. We realize that? Like it is the bread of life. It is open for us. It's the Bible, it's the scriptures that give life. That's why every time a preacher would stand up or a teacher should stand up, more important than a story that we can give them or more important than a humorous illustration, it's important that we give people the words that give life. The whole book of Proverbs, you can find over and over again scriptures that emphasize how important that the Word of God is. That's why, do you know what the number one thing the devil will try to keep you from doing is? It's just reading the Bible. Why is that so difficult for us sometimes? You can do it in about, I mean, sure, it'd be great if we all sat down and meditated and studied for an hour. That would be a great goal. But you realize you can get just a little bit of sustenance in 5 or 10 or 15 minutes to get through your day. We can get that. We can find that nourishment. And what's amazing here, what does David say in Psalm chapter 1, verse number 2 again? Why don't you say it again with me? Ready? But his delight is in the what? The law of the Lord. Now, we have so many wonderful scripture truths to delight in, don't we? I mean, there's all kinds of... Does anybody have a favorite verse in here that could just share that with me tonight? You got a verse that God has just used over and over again maybe in your life, or something that speaks to you? I think of verses like, I commit thy way unto the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. Trust also in him. Verses like, even the gospel verses, that God loves me. Anybody got a verse tonight, a favorite verse, or a life verse, or some verse where that's a delight to you? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You got a verse? That's... right, not even looking. You got it. Yeah, I think that's awesome that we take a couple of weeks and we've got lots of other scriptures that we're looking at, but that verse getting implanted in our minds and in our hearts. Somebody else, give me a verse. Yes, Tate. Yep, Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Awesome, great verse. Anybody else got a life verse or a favorite verse or a... Yes, no good thing will he withhold. Somebody else got a verse that speaks to you, that maybe recently or throughout your life has spoken to your heart? Or just any verse that you like. I mean, we surely know more Bible in here than that, right?
Well, the verse that the Lord used to get a hold of my heart was Romans chapter number 13, verse 12. So the night is far spent, the day is at hand, it's cast off the works of darkness and run on with light.
Yeah, that's just an amazing verse. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Somebody else, a verse, yep. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. What is it? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Somebody else. We got a good... Yes, sir. You're reading it because your mind is mine. Amen. Great verse. Verses. Somebody else, something, a verse. Yep. That's right. That's right. And to remember that he is sovereign, he's in control, he's made all this. Somebody else got a verse they want to share, or another one. I mean, I'll take, yes. There are other books besides Hebrews in the Bible. That's funny. Aaron, if you don't know, you probably do. He loves the book of Hebrews. We were at the when we were at the preacher's meeting a few weeks ago. There's one preacher. I mean, they had him preach a lot because he's kind of more like teaching, and he kept going all through these Old Testament stories. And his name is Brother Doug Fisher. But what he'd do is he'd take you from like this obscure passage that you didn't really notice in the Old Testament. Like he had one about the Gibeonites. If you don't know the story of the Gibeonites, it's a really unique thing. They trick the children of Israel into making a treaty. Anyway, it's like, okay, interesting story, all done. And he's like, no way. And then he starts like bringing us all the other passages about the Gibeonites that you never knew were even there, and just how God did something through that. And that, I was like, wow, there's a man who knows his Bible, and he finds nourishment and strength in it. Anyway, but like Aaron with Hebrews, he says to us, he gets up to preach another message. He's like, all right, well, just so you folks know that I do read in the New Testament as well. And then he gave us a passage But instead of 2 Corinthians, he said Chronicles. So it was, he's stuck in the Old Testament. But yeah, Hebrews, that's a great, great verse. Somebody else, anybody else? Two verses. Amen. You use that a lot at work and witnessing. Verses that give you strength and power. Yeah. Amen. That reminds me of the verse that where David says, David or one of the other psalmists said, though my father and my mother forsake me, yet will the Lord take me up. Great verse. I love that one too. Somebody else. We've had good ones. Yeah. Amen. We just did that in our adult Bible study. Confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody else got a verse? Yes. Uh-oh. Heal their land. Amen. That's a good verse. Good passage. Anybody else? We've had a lot. Any others? But you can look back in life and you can find times when it's the Word of God that gives you that life, that gives you that strength, that gives you that nourishment. Look, we will never be a perfect church, right? And we will never be a perfect people. We won't have a perfect family. There are things that we can find fault with. There are problems that we can have, difficulties that we'll go through. But let's always be a church that loves the Word of God, that loves the Bible. If any one thing could ever be said about us, if anything could ever be known about us, let it be that there are people that love the Bible. It's very interesting as I meet people. I can't remember the exact situation. I've heard other people tell the same story before, but I'm pretty sure it's happened to me. If not, I've heard the story related to others. But you talk to people that are of other persuasions or denominations, and you start to tell them you're a Christian, and they'd be like, "What are you?" It's like, "Well, we're Baptist. I'm a Baptist." And I've heard the story before, and I believe it was directed toward me. If not, I heard someone else say it. But the person's response was, "Oh. Well, one thing I've got to say about those Baptists is they really talk a lot about the Bible. They really do." And that's the truth. We are a people, people that are Baptistic in doctrine have been people that have always stood for the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. And by the way, I was having a conversation recently, and we here as a church, as a matter of principle at our church, we exclusively use the King James Bible. And I've had conversations with people that say things like, "Oh, well, you know, this isn't that different, or that's not that different, and what?" Well, and not to get into a whole study, but one of the reasons we take it so seriously is because we honor and we cherish the Word of God. And it makes us really nervous and really cautious when people want to start changing it, or people want to say, "Well, but we found a better way to say it." And we just look back and we know that for hundreds of years, God has taken this Bible and he's changed the world with it. This is the Bible of the Protestant Reformation. This is the Bible of the great revivals. This is the Bible that in Western civilization has laid the foundation for us. And we could debate all the issues, and they're worth talking about for sure, and I don't disparage others who disagree, but I love the Bible. And I don't trust people who want to start changing it and telling me that it should have really said this, when for all these years, God, I believe that God has given us a perfect and preserved Word of God. Because it's the Bible that gives us life. It's the Bible that gives us nourishment. It's the words of God. But all those verses that you quoted, not all of them, but most of those verses that you quoted had not been written when David wrote Psalm 1 and he said that he delights in the law of the Lord. Do you know what he had at that point in time? He had the Pentateuch. He had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's what he had. Joshua, Judges, possibly they were being written by Samuel, at the very time of David's life. But he didn't have all those wonderful truths that we have, but he still had the Word of God. And the Word of God might be some of that. There might have been some of the passages that you and I, that you and I don't even quote as much. But he's talking about the book of Leviticus and the sacrificial system that's laid out. He's talking about the laws. He's talking about the genealogies. He's talking about the numbering of the people. And he's like, I'm going to meditate in that day and night. What an awesome thing to think about. That even sometimes passages of Scripture that you and I might think are more obscure or less powerful, those were the Scriptures that David... Those are the Scriptures that David cherished and delighted in. And because of that, he had found the secret of happiness. Or one of the secrets of happiness. Because you realize that's what Psalm 1 is all about. The secret to happiness. Because he said, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. And that word blessed, as you probably know, if you don't know this, if you couldn't give me, and I did this to my adult class this morning, but if you don't know the definition to blessed right off the top of your tongue, then you need to write it down in your Bible somewhere so that you won't forget it, all right? But blessed means, and it might be an oversimplification, but give me one word. The word blessed means, it means happy, full of joy, contented. But it's a happiness that comes from without. You understand that? The world wants to tell you that where does your happiness come from? The world, it's called humanism without getting all philosophical about it. The humanist says that you find your happiness where? Inside you. And they don't, it doesn't sound really bad. They don't say, all right, I'm about to make an anti-Christ humanist statement. No, it sounds really good and it sounds all self-help and positive. But there's an underlying current, and what it teaches is that inside of you is where your happiness comes. And you have to be a self-fulfilled person. But the Bible actually teaches that true happiness comes from without. But the world does understand one thing. They understand that true happiness cannot be found among other people. They understand that true happiness cannot even be found by circumstances in life. So they say that you have to have something within and you have to have your own source of happiness. The problem is they understand that the world cannot make us happy, but they miss where the source of true happiness really is. It's not from within, it's from outside, it's from God. That's why it says, blessed is the man. To be blessed indicates that there must be a blesser. You got it. If you're going to be blessed, that blessing has to come from someone. So, as I said, I'm not going to take a lot of time on it, but we've got to understand the psalm. Blessed is the man, first of all, that doesn't what? He doesn't walk, where? In the counsel of the ungodly. What he teaches us, first of all, is that the blessing, there is a blesser. If we want to be blessed, there is a blesser, but then there are those that would rob your blessing. You got that? There are those that would come and rob your blessing. So all you teenagers that got back from camp this week, and I heard some awesome decisions that were made and people deciding to make commitments for the Lord. But what happens is, the truth of the matter is, let me back up a little bit. Truth is this, those commitments that you made to walk walk uprightly before the Lord and to give your life to the Lord in all of your ways, that is the source of your ultimate happiness and fulfillment in your life. But the devil is a thief, the Bible says. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. There is a thief that wants to steal your happiness. But in this passage, they are not people that say, just like with that humanist thing I gave you a minute ago, the world doesn't come and say, here I come. I'm here to steal your happiness from you. They don't make that announcement. They actually sometimes, what they want to do is they want to offer a different source of happiness in exchange. But really, all that's been doing is they're robbing. So there is a danger in our lives for our happiness to be robbed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So you've heard it before, and so I'm not going to take much more time on it. There's a progression, right? Blessed is the man. First, you walk with sinners, or the ungodly. Then you stand with sinners. Then you sit in the seat of the scornful. But all the while, what's happening is your joy, your happiness, your peace is going to be robbed from you. And you sit here, and you sit and listen to that, and we all sit and listen to that. And here's the difficulty. The difficulty is we just have to believe it. Okay? I could come up for you. It's an amazing thing about life. I could bring up here illustration after illustration, and it's been done many times. And we could parade in front of you a whole list of people that did not follow the advice of the psalmist, the advice of the Holy Spirit. We could parade that whole list of people, and it would be case study A. No, I walked with the ungodly. I stood in the way of sinners. I sat in the seat of the scornful. Okay, question number two. Did that result in a happy, fulfilled life? No, it did not. All right, person B, did this, and you could go right down and find that evidence, but for some reason, it's difficult sometimes for people to actually just simply believe what the Bible says, despite all the evidence, despite all the truth to it. I was chatting with my wife. Deborah had a conversation with someone recently, and they needed help. And so when she went to give them help, she offered them truths from God's Word. But as you've experienced in your interactions with people, the truths of God's words were presented, and the answer was, but it's different in my situation. And we could go and could have said, hey, well, look, I've seen this happen with other people over and over again. But people are, for some reason, hesitant to just believe the Word of God. That God said it. He said there's a blessing to avoiding people that are there to steal your happiness. So I'd say, Christian, just believe the Word of God. Just trust the Word of God. And that's going to bring me to the main point I want to give you here in just a minute. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now let's shift here. There is a blesser. People would rob our blessing. But the means of that blessing is going to come through what? The Word of God. But his delight shall be in the law of the Lord. And in it shall he what? Meditate day and night. You realize the world is doing a better job of meditation than we are as believers. Did you know that? You say, well, what do you mean by that? You can read articles over and over again on the internet, and you can talk with professional people who are trying to organize their life as best they can. And do you know increasingly what people are incorporating as a practice into their daily routine? Meditation. Meditation, be it in the form of yoga or, and I would caution you, I'm not being dogmatic about this, but I would caution you to stay away from all that yoga stuff and Eastern religious practices. Say, I don't believe any of that, but I still like the downward dog or whatever. Well, whatever. Beware all that stuff. That's rooted in a false religious system. That's where it has its foundation. And I know Christians do some of that, but I'd be really careful with that. But the world understands the importance of meditation, the importance of coming away. And so you'll hear people that say, yeah, I've started meditating every day, and they empty all thoughts from their mind, and they have all these routines, and you can take classes on how to meditate. And I would submit that the world is doing a better job than we are often of meditating. The problem is, it's the subject of their meditation. I don't know what they meditate on, but I do know what the Bible's called us to meditate on, and that's the law of the Lord. It's the Word of God. It's to stop, it's to come away day and night, and to meditate. I believe that the meditation can take different forms. I think sometimes it's important for us to find a quiet place where we do empty all thoughts and just solely think on the words of God. But also, you know, the idea of meditation, I've heard it explained in the as you think of animals and the animals that chew the cud. Have you heard that description before of meditation? And I believe that may even be a root idea in the word itself. I'd have to double check that. But the idea is the bringing it back up. The animal, so the cows have how many stomachs? Four. I was going to say five. I'm giving them an extra stomach, but they only have four. All right. So the cows have the four stomachs, and so what they do is they bring it back up because they can't, for some reason, they can't get all of the nutrients from the food. And this is the extent of my knowledge of cow nutrition. But basically, they have to keep chewing on it over again. You get what I'm saying, right? And so they bring it back up, and they get more from it. So meditation can take the form of, yes, a quiet, reflective time, but can also be throughout the day, throughout the course and the busyness of life, for the words of God to come back and to think about them again and to focus on them once more, to receive nourishment, to receive strength. So in his delight is in the law of the Lord. The source of his happiness is God's word. And in the law doth he meditate day and night. And I love verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Couple of things here. I thought about his season. His season. And I also thought about the fact that the tree is by the rivers of water. And this is two things that stood out to me, and I don't have them in a neat little outline. They're just kind of thoughts. You realize if the tree is by the river, it doesn't matter how dry the environment is around it. Right? It doesn't matter. It could be time of drought. It could be the desert outside. But as long as that tree is planted by the river, by the water, and as long as the water's flowing there, that root system is going to be nourished. It's going to be fed. So we could never use, and I thought about this in the place where we live. In fact, I got an email today from a pastor who's starting a Bible college in the Northeast. And they're asking for help. And he described the place where he ministered. And they have a thriving church. But he described the place in the Northeast where he ministered as, he said, this isn't the Bible Belt. And then he said this. He said, it's a spiritual wasteland out there. I was like, wow. Wow. Is there truth in that? And he's got a thriving church in the midst of this barren spiritual wasteland. But I thought, what an apt description sometimes of the place where we live, where we don't rub shoulders with Christians in a daily basis. We don't meet people all the time who love the Lord. And sometimes we may even gather here as just a small group from time to time. Sometimes it feels like, wow, God is moving. And other times it's like, boy, it's a struggle. But when the tree is planted by the rivers of water, the rest of the world around can be a barren wasteland, but that tree will still receive the nourishment it needs, will still receive the nutrients and have the strength and the life that flows from the water. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And then this stood out to me, that bringeth forth his fruit. We know that, right? We want to live a fruitful life. But then what does it say? When will he bring forth the fruit? In his season. In his season. So give me your attention here I'm going to bring it to a conclusion for a few minutes. All right? But just, yeah. As has been said, circling the airport, and there's a pile up on the runway. So we got to circle a couple times. But this is the final thought. I just want you to stick with me on it. He brings forth his fruit. We all want to be fruitful Christians. But it comes when? In due season. In due season. And sometimes we go through periods of our Christian life where we can say, God, I'm reading your word. I'm being faithful. I'm following your direction. But it's not happening. Right? It's not there. And sometimes, honestly, and this is good for teenagers to think about too, because this is something you're going to encounter as you start to read the Word of God faithfully. If you don't already, if you begin to read the Word of God faithfully, this is what happens. You start out, and one day you read the Bible, and it's like, whoa! Man! I can't believe that's in there, and I never realized that. And you start, and things start to stand out to you, and you might write something down. And then another day, you might open the Bible, and you'd be like, man, I just don't understand that at all. I don't get it. I don't know what it's talking about. I just don't understand it. Well, what do you do? What do you do? Well, there's a lot of things you could do, but one of the most important things you can do is just keep at it. Persevere. Read the Bible. Why? Because it's food. It's life. It's water. It's nourishment. And sometimes, to use a borrowed illustration, sometimes it's like that five-course meal that's all laid out for us and every bite is delicious, but then there's some mornings where you've got to get up and you've got to eat your oatmeal. Now, some of you love oatmeal. I don't understand what's wrong with you. Oatmeal is for horses, but some people do like oatmeal. My dad loves oatmeal. Gideon, he does, loves oatmeal. I'm not an oatmeal fan, so for me, that's my illustration. Someday you've got to eat the oatmeal. Why? Because you need the nourishment, you need the strength, you need the sustenance that it gives. And the fruit will come in due season. I have apple trees, as we think about trees. Unfortunately, this year, they're not producing fruit because they got killed by an early frost, or a late frost. But I think about apple trees because they're everywhere around us here. And the apple tree comes out of its dormancy, let's say in April or May, and as soon as that tree comes out of its dormancy, what does it need right away? It needs water. As soon as it comes out, it needs water. Now, when you look at that tree in May, is there any fruit on the tree? When will the fruit come? In due season. When you look at the tree, but in May, there's no fruit on the tree, but what does it need? And he's the water. And he's to soak up the water. I saw just a couple of weeks ago, before we got all this rain, did you notice on the mountains, there were some places I saw where all of a sudden there was a tree that started to brown out a little bit. Did you notice that? Now, the trees around here, they can handle a lot. They can handle a lot of drought. And it's been years, but I remember one year years ago where we had another severe drought. The grass was all crisped out. And you looked at the mountains around August, and all of a sudden, the trees, you were seeing that suffering, just that browning. Now, and I think about that apple tree. If it goes without water, the fruit will never be there. But there will be times where there's no fruit, and the fruit isn't there yet, but it still needs the water. It still needs the nourishment. And so if you're going through a season where you're like, man, it's just not happening yet, just what I was expecting isn't there, just be patient and keep receiving the nourishment of the Word of God because the fruit will come in due season. I thought about that apple tree. In May, it needs the water, but there's no fruit. In June, it needs the water, and the fruit's just started. It's little bitty fruit. You don't want to eat it yet, and that fruit desperately needs the water, and it starts to get healthier and fuller. And then comes July, and that hot weather, and it needs even more water. But you know what happens? The more heat, that's actually good. But as long as that, when more heat comes, it needs more water. And you put those combinations together, and that fruit begins to flesh out and get fuller. And then August, it kind of goes into final gear. And then the last week of August, depending on what variety, you get in September, and you go to the tree, and you pull off that. And there's, man, isn't that good? There's nothing like an apple fresh off the tree. Sorry, I digress, but I just like that. You know, they sit around. Now you're just getting apples that have been sitting on shelves for months, and they're okay. But you put like Macintosh apples, for instance. I do not like Macintosh apples unless you can be there at the tree and pull it off the tree, because then they're still crispy and they're so sweet and so good. But the tree doesn't bear the fruit at every season, and whether it's your family, or whether it's your personal life, or whether it's the life of a church, sometimes we've got to be faithful and trust the Lord and be in the Word and receive the nourishment and not get distracted by how dry this person's life is or how barren the environment is going on or someplace far away that is fruitful but not right here. Let's wait on the Lord. His delight shall be in the law of the Lord. And in it shall he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's the blessing. It's the prosperity. But it comes through faithfully getting our strength, getting our life from the Word of God, letting Him do His work in due season. He's the blesser. We are the blessed. Beware of people that would rob it from you, and always find your source of happiness in the words of God. And that's what I wanted to share with you this evening. I'm not going to have an invitation tonight or anything like that, but let's conclude in prayer. And let's meditate on this as we go to our homes. And as we prepare, I really believe, as we prepare for a special week in the life of our church. So we go into a week of preparation. We go into a week preparing to receive from the Lord. Let's pray. God, we love you. We're thankful, Lord, that you're a faithful God. We're thankful that we have the words of life. Help us to find strength and nourishment this week. Help us to be be renewed day by day. Lord, I pray now that as we go into this week, that we would be a prayerful people. God, we know that there are going to be obstacles, temptations, and trials that come up right away tomorrow morning. There are going to be attitudes that we're tempted to have. I pray for families this week that we'd be kind and gracious one with another, because we know that if husbands and wives are at odds, that you don't hear our prayers. I pray that children would be respectful and obedient to parents so that your spirit would not be hindered. I pray that we would covenant to set no wicked thing before our eyes. Lord, I pray that this truly would be a week of prayer and of fasting and of seeking your face, that we would be faithful in our jobs and our vocations that you've called us to, and be able to balance that spiritual hunger and focus that we need with the tasks that we're called to do to provide for our families. Lord, there is difficulty that we face, but there is a greater strength and a greater power and a greater ability that comes from leaning on you. So we now commit to the week of to the week ahead to lean on you, to trust you, to walk with you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. And we are dismissed.